The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
It's time for AM 1260 The Rock's newest locally produced program called Where We Worship. This 30-minute show highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic churches, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of their parishioners. Now here's your host, Bob Tayek.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. Well, today, as we weather this COVID-19 pandemic, we are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they are where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? One only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the history, the ministries, and the people of Sacred Heart Chapel in Lorain, the parish located on Pearl Avenue in the area known as South Lorain. And appropriately, during this month of June, the church observing the Feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. That's a solemnity on the liturgical calendar. It falls 19 days after Pentecost on a Friday. Now, this is your host, Bob Tayek, and joining me on Where We Worship to look at the history and the vibrancy of the Sacred Heart Chapel in Lorain via teleconference in order to assure proper social distancing during the COVID-19 pandemic, our Father Bill Thaden, pastor of Sacred Heart Chapel, Carmen Melendez, longtime church secretary and historian, and Sister Kathy McConnell, pastoral associate. And Father Bill, let's first reflect on the mission of the parish. As stated on your website, established for the Hispanic community, Sacred Heart Chapel welcomes all masses as well in Spanish and English. And I'd like if you would expound on that a little bit, on the mission of the parish.
Sure, Bob. Thank you. The parish was founded because of the need for ministry to the Spanish-speaking. And that mostly was Puerto Ricans at first, but also Mexicans. And so masses were begun in Spanish. As the time has gone and generations have continued in the parish, we now have the need for English and Spanish. And at times we celebrate bilingually, which is always a challenge. But we are definitely focused on making a home church for people who come from Hispanic cultures and need the language. But we're also welcoming everyone who comes. And so we have a diverse community as well.
Well, although the parish was formally established by the diocese in 1952, its history dates back much further, going back, I believe, to the First World War with an influx of Mexican-Americans into Lorain. Is that the case, Father?
Yeah, the steel mill is here in Lorain was the real engine for immigration, and at first was the Mexicans that were brought in to work. And at that time, they had their own chapel called Guadalupe. The parish wasn't formed, but they also gathered and had their own prayer and worship. So when the economy came on hard times, then a lot of those jobs dried up, and so a lot of the Mexicans returned to Mexico. The second wave was the Puerto Ricans after World War II. So they were brought to work in the steel mill. So that was at the time when the parish was formed, and it began with the missionary servants of the Most Holy Trinity. They were asked to come in by the diocese, and so that's how the beginnings of the parish started.
And regarding that first church established again back in the early 50s, I think it was it a storefront location or something to that effect?
Yes, and I want to mention that when my parents brought us here, one of the people that welcomed us was a lady, Mexican lady, by the name of Segovia, the last name. So we have connections from that time on with the Mexicans, and she was so welcoming and so good to all of us, yes.
Oh, that's interesting, Carmen. And I, so the audience knows, you're of Puerto Rican descent?
I am, yes.
Okay.
And so when the diocese saw that there were so many Puerto Ricans coming in, then that's when they contacted the Missionary Servants of the Most Holy Trinity. It's a congregation of priests. And then a priest by the name of Father Gerald Frederick came. He was able to stay nearby where the Puerto Ricans were at St. Lath. He contacted some of the people around and found seamstress and found carpenters. And because he bought a storefront, which used to be a meat market, he brought these people in, and they were able to help him prepare the building for opening day. Now, after all that, he also contacted the Missionary Servants of the Most Blessed Trinity. Those are the sisters. The priests were holy, and the sisters were blessed. And it was a joke here because one of the brothers that was here would always say, now, Carmen, if you're going to write us a check, it has to be holy because we're not the sisters. Hmm. But so the sisters came, and they started to contact people. And so my family being one of them. And so the first time that we came, it was in a May. They asked me if I could bring flowers to Mary. And so my family attended church for the first time. Before that, of course, I was going to St. Lattice Law School, but my family, my parents were not comfortable attending because they didn't feel, they actually did not feel welcome at that time. But when this church began, now that made a big difference. This was home.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And then I believe in 1972, the original Sacred Heart of Jesus Chapel had to be torn down. And that led actually to the beautiful facility you have there on Pearl now. Is that right, Father, as such?
Yeah, they started doing some renewal, supposed renewal in the urban renewal, and it ended up being the tearing down of that building. But they had already bought land where we are now, and it was pretty swampy land. And so they spent a lot of time filling and cutting down trees, and it was a lot of work, but they got it ready and finally were able to start building.
Well, coming up, Sacred Heart Chapel in Lorain, a very special place where cultures have come together on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock.
This episode of Where We Worship experienced some technical difficulties. At times, the recording was rough in quality. Our apologies, and we hope that the problem won't adversely affect your enjoyment of the program.
You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio. This is your host, Bob Tayak. Our interview being conducted via a special audio connection as we continue to observe the prudent communication practices during this COVID-19 pandemic. And my guests from Sacred Heart Chapel in Lorain, our pastor, Father Bill Thaden, longtime secretary and parish member Carmen Melendez, and pastoral associate Sister Kathy McConnell. And I think it's worth noting that Sacred Heart Chapel has accomplished something as a Christian community that historically has not always been possible. And you've been able to meld very different cultures to form a Christ-like place of mm-hmm. worship. And I'm speaking of the Mexican and Puerto Rican communities in particular. And Father Bill, I guess I'll ask, how did that come about?
I'm smiling as you're asking the question because I've had to learn that on the way. The cultures feel very strongly about their own culture. And when I first got here, the elder Puerto Ricans were very concerned that I was going to not speak enough Spanish, that I was going to use too much English. And when I would do something bilingual because their children needed me to, they would complain. So they want to keep their cultures alive. But the thing is, a lot of people speak of Hispanics, they just think it's one general thing, but there's so many different cultures. And as you mentioned, Mexican and Puerto Rican culture are very distinct. I didn't realize at first that there was work to be done there. But I got called out one day for an emergency baptism of a young couple, a young Mexican couple. And so I went out, and their son had been ill. So I went to their apartment, and I did the baptism, and the child was doing okay. So we had a chance just to chat a bit. And I asked them, you know, how come you obviously have faith? How come you don't come to Sacred Heart and are part of the community? And they looked at me very sincerely and said, well, we thought that was the Puerto Rican parish. And see, that's when I realized that the perception was out there and that we weren't seen as welcoming the Mexican community. Even though we had Mexicans, most of the ones we had were born in the United States. They were descendants of Mexicans. So, but the newly immigrating community, we really hadn't been able to reach. So we made attempts and started to be very deliberate about being a welcoming community. And it's taken some years, but the Puerto Rican community has been welcoming. There have been moments of, you know, some rough edges sometimes of trying to have both cultures understand each other. They're very different, but we have truly, as you said, we've been blessed at having them see one another as brothers and sisters. But Sister Kathy has experience because she was in that situation before.
I was going to ask you, Sister Kathy, about that, and if you had experience or what has helped to bring it together and so forth.
Well, I think my experience in other places was that the Puerto Rican community usually did not mix with Mexican or Central American because of the harassment very often, being stopped by the police and having to prove that they were citizens. And in Maryland, that was a major problem. I think here, the history has been amazing, and Carmen mentioned that from the very beginning, the Mexicans reached out to the Puerto Ricans as they came, and now we find ourselves with the Puerto Ricans reaching out to the Mexicans because we have a new wave of Mexicans who've come in recent years, and they're not Mexican-American quite. They're Mexicans, direct immigrants from Mexico, they and their children. And what's happened in my time here, I've been back about 12 years here, and the hiring of Monica Hernandez Swift was very important to us. She was a native of Mexico City, and she is a U.S. citizen. But when she became part of the staff, I think that the Mexican community in the parish had the same feeling that Carmen had when all of a sudden Sacred Heart Chapel was their own church, and they weren't borrowing from St. Ladislaus or having to be a little bit at St. Peter's or anywhere else, but they had their own church. And when Monica came and joined the staff and joined the pastoral staff, that was an added thing for them. And all of a sudden they realized this is our church, and they took much more ownership for that.
You know, it's, I think, also interesting to note that Sacred Heart Chapel also maintains religious traditions from other Hispanic peoples as well, particularly Central America, if I'm not mistaken. I wondered if you could talk about that. So we've been talking Mexicans and Puerto Ricans, but it goes beyond that.
Well, yes. And I think when we think of beyond, we're probably looking at the sawdust rugs that are done. Originally, that was a practice from Guatemala. And what it was they're preparing on the road with sawdust and dye colors. They would prepare images that related to Holy Week and to the events of the suffering and death of Jesus. And it would be used out on the main streets and became a rug for the procession on Good Friday. And here, we made a point of replicating that. And in some places, it's on the street, and in other places, it's inside of buildings. But we use that for the procession, and it's a way where people feel a connection to their church and to where they came from. The practice has also found its way into Mexico and into the United States, especially in places where missionaries have come from other experiences. And when we were in El Salvador, it was very common there. And that's the thing that makes it different. But we have the Mexican Posada and the Puerto Rican Parranda. We have the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe and all the celebration that goes around that. And the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe was always a part of the community, but at this point it's much broader. And in a way, it kind of reminds me a little of our St. Patrick's Day in this country, because everybody comes out for the Feast of Guadalupe. It doesn't matter your nationality, and that's something that's always been strong here.
I was going to ask Father Bill, going on from what Sister was saying, there's also even an El Salvador connection, right, for the parish. And I know some of that may relate to the fact that you had served there as a missionary for 5 years, but is there a continued connection with people in El Salvador?
The connection started with the first diocesan pastor, Father Mike Schneid. He had been on the team, and then Father Rob Reedy was on the team, and now I was on the team. Sister Kathy was on the team. So there's a big, big connection. Our connection is not as formal now as some of the parishes in the diocese who have special relationships with certain parishes. We have people who take mission trips each year. Father Sister Carmen was one of the...
Torres.
Yes, no, but she was not a Trinitarian. She was Divine Providence nun, and she, may she rest in peace, but she had a lot of passion for taking people down and going down and visiting. So we still have every year some folks who go, but we do not have we haven't adopted a parish as such. It's just more an ongoing connection with certain areas and peoples down there.
You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and we'll be back to look at the ministries, activities, and much more of what's happening at Sacred Heart Chapel in Lorain coming up. This episode of Where We Worship experienced some technical difficulties. At times, the recording was rough in quality. Our apologies, and we hope that the problem won't adversely affect your enjoyment of the program. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. And our focus for this June 2020 broadcast is Sacred Heart Chapel Parish, located in South Lorain. I'm your host, Bob Tayak, and my guests are Sacred Heart Chapel Pastor Father Bill Thaden, longtime secretary and member of the parish, Carmen Melendez, and pastoral associate, Sister Kathy McConnell. And Sister Kathy, as our lives have been turned upside down by this pandemic, I know the work of the parish, though, has continued. Can you tell us a little bit of what you have been able to achieve during this time period of the pandemic?
Well, it didn't start the day that we had to shut down. And I can remember going back to my apartment and feeling somewhat disoriented. And where do we go from here? And how does the community stay together? And the very first initiative was Father streaming the masses. And he streamed not just the Sunday liturgy, but every single mass that we celebrate, weekdays and weekend, and with the intentions of the mass. And that was immediately a way where people were able to gather. And for me, it was kind of enlightening and interesting to find that there were people coming in from different states, people who had been parishioners in the past, and people who didn't know us at all, and parishioners we hadn't seen in a long time, people who had sort of gotten lax in what they were doing, but they joined that. Shortly thereafter, our small church community groups also went to Zoom, and because they're small church community groups, they're able to use their Zooms and to meet at their regular times. That got me to starting the RCIA. We have it both in Spanish and English. Following that, we've begun Alpha again, and we began with the English, and we hope to have the Spanish up by the middle of June. We've tried to connect with people through phone calls, especially with our elderly, because a lot of them don't have access to all this stuff. And so we'll call them, and in some cases I can text people, but I know that the pastoral staff is trying very hard to let people know that nobody is being left out.
Amen. You know, Sister, we know that various pastors have played a role in continuing the work of the chapel for the people of the community, but during this pandemic, I understand the community reached out to recognize Father Bill for all his hard work. Could you explain that for us?
That was rather an amazing event. It was really grassroots. There was an elderly woman, and Gladys Santana, and she was just mentioning to people that we really ought to have a special parade for Father, because we'd seen a few of them on television. And immediately, people jumped on that. We had representation from every group in the church, and it was an amazing event. We're just so grateful for the many ways in which Father has found to hold the community together and be a sign of hope. On that day, the cars all gathered in an empty parking lot not far from ours. People made signs. There were balloons. There was just a lot of noise and excitement. And once we gathered at the church, households stayed together, and everybody else stayed 6 feet apart, theoretically, but mostly. It was just a beautiful experience, and it was the first time since we had shut down that I think people felt like it was okay. There was a sense of normalcy that we hadn't experienced previously, but there was no way to express to Father how we felt as a community, but I think maybe he got a small idea there.
Oh, that's really a wonderful acknowledgement to you, Father Bill. I wanted to jump to Carmen. You know, with your longstanding knowledge of Sacred Heart Chapel in Lorraine, can you recall a time or two when the parish played a special role in the lives or a life of a parishioner? You know, I'm thinking, you know, here was this wonderful recognition for Father Bill. Were there any other circumstances that might come to mind over the years?
Well, I could be talking for months about this, but I would like to mention, because I was so excited when you asked about did we have Salvadorians in the parish. I want to go into the story of a young man and a young woman who came here from El Salvador. And they didn't have anybody here. They didn't have relatives. They didn't have parents. And so Father Rob Reedy was the pastor here. He found a home for them. And we, the community, came together as their parents because they wanted to get married. The community came together, collected enough money for them to have a celebration for them, enough money to rent a place for them and to buy furniture for them, and even to send them away on a honeymoon. It was in February, a very snowy day, I remember like now. But this young couple have stayed in the parish, and we're so happy to have them. That was one experience. But, you know, when we come together at different times when there's a need, not as Mexicans or Puerto Ricans or Salvadorians. We come together as people, as a community. And we've done that whenever there is something tragic that happens in Mexico, in El Salvador, in Puerto Rico with Maria. We had at least 5 trucks that went out to be sent to Puerto Rico. And everyone that came here to help was from different nationalities. And now with this pandemic area our time, we sit around in a meeting wondering what we could do for the people. Father asked, well, what do we do about feeding them? Somebody said, well, maybe we could cook from home and take it to people. There was another suggestion, maybe we could cook in the kitchen of the church and take it to the people. And all of a sudden, this came together. We are servicing right now over 370 families. We take lunches to houses, to their residents. We feed the Sacred Heart Manor, who are our neighbors. And also people come and drive through and ask for food, and we hand it to them. The amazing thing is that we've all come together. There's so many people that want to help. We have our van going around to service, to take the food. The guy who drives the van is all about people. Sometimes he gives out food, even if it's not on the list, has to come back for more. When they see our van, they go out to him to say thank you. It's just like a miraculous thing that has been put together to service our people.
Thank you very much, Carmen. And you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak. Now more than ever, Catholic Radio is keeping people connected to their church and their faith Support your local Catholic radio station with a gift of any level so that the good news continues to be proclaimed on the airwaves of Northeast Ohio. Visit AM 1260 The Rock to make a secure online gift today. This presentation featured Sacred Heart Chapel Parish in Lorain. Where We Worship is a production of AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life, and is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2. Prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship, AM 1260 The Rock's newest locally produced program highlighting the rich histories and significance of Northeast Ohio's Catholic churches. If you missed any part of the show, listen to the program in its entirety on our website at am1260therock.com under the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.